Hi, this is Pastor Bill Woods, and I just want to wish you a very happy day. You know, I want to, before I give you the main message that I have today, I want to give some tribute to my wife. Tuesday, April 1st, my sweet wife will be 80 years old. She was born not only on April 1st, but it was Easter that year. But most people remember April 1st, and she's really had to take a lot of punishment because of her birthday. She has slowed down a whole bunch since I married her at 20 years old, but who hasn't? I've been so blessed to have this beautiful lady be my loving wife, my best friend, and my loyal supporter all these years. She's been described in Proverbs 31, mostly. I have done some editing, but it's mostly describes her. It's entitled, A Wife of Noble Character. Says, who can find a virtuous and capable wife? She is more precious than rubies. Her husband can trust her, and she will greatly enrich his life. She brings him good, not harm, all the days of her life. She is energetic and strong, a hard worker. Her hands are busy spinning threads, her fingers twisting fiber. She extends a helping hand to the poor and opens her arms to the needy. She has no fear of winter for her household, for everyone has warm clothes. She makes her own bedspreads, and you ought to see the beautiful quilts that she makes that we put on the beds and give out to other people for their bedrooms. She is clothed with strength and dignity, and she laughs without fear of the future. When she speaks, her words are wise, and she gives instructions with kindness, and I put in the parentheses, most of the time. She carefully watches everything in her household and suffers nothing from laziness. Her children stand and bless her. Her husband praises her. There are many virtues and capable women in the world, but Marty, you surpass them all. Charm is deceptive and beauty does not last, but a woman who fears the Lord will be greatly praised. Reward her for all she has done and let her deeds publicly declare her praise. You know, when we were in Arlington, Oregon, there was an old lady in the church. Actually, she was the Sunday school superintendent, and she was in her 80s. But anyhow, she would insist that we sing this little song whenever someone had a birthday. Went like this. Happy birthday to you, just one will not do. Takes two for salvation, how many have you? And I would remind you, before I go on into the sermon of the day, I would remind you that if you don't know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, according to John chapter 3, and when Jesus was talking to Nicodemus, he said, you must be born again. Takes two for salvation. And Nicodemus didn't understand. He said, well, how can an old man like me go back into his mother's womb? And Jesus said, no, that's being born by the flesh, but you also must be born by the Spirit. And so when we ask Jesus to forgive us of our sins, to come into our life, we're not only born of the flesh, which we couldn't help, but we've chosen to be born into the kingdom of God, born into his Spirit. Let's have a word of prayer. Father, I just pray today that you'll help each one of us to realize the importance of living for you. Lord, help those today that are not born again to come to an understanding that if they don't give their hearts and lives to you, if they don't confess their sins and repent, it means eternal destruction. I'd pray, God, that you help each one to be honest with you. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Now today I want to talk about the high cost of low living. And I've taken my comments from Judges chapter 13 through 16. Some people are born privileged with many advantages and can't seem to succeed. Others are just the opposite. They're born to do nothing and rise above it with great success. Samson was an example of the ones born privileged with many advantages. He was born at a special time in Israel's history. God put him here to do a special job. Seven times Israel had rebelled into apostasy and turned their backs upon God, went into idolatry. Seven times God had to discipline them for their rebellion. He would send some nation in to conquer them and make them slaves until they prayed and repented. This time it's the Philistines that God used to punish and oppress Israel for 40 years. They were their worst enemy. Samson means sunshine. In the darkest days of his nation's history, sunshine came into the world. He was a Nazarite, which means different, separated, or set aside for God's holy use. He was to have no wine, no fruit of the vine. He couldn't come near or touch a dead body, whether animal or human. He couldn't cut his hair. It was an act of humility and self-abasement to take this shame of not cutting his hair upon himself. Samson made sure that he would break all of these rules in his lifetime. Samson had been given great strength by the Lord. Once he killed 1,000 Philistines with just the jawbone of a donkey. Another time, he lifted the gates of the city up a hill on his shoulders, and he was attacked by a wild lion and killed. Not the same thing. He lifted the gate and packed it a great distance away on his shoulders. Then another time, he was attacked by a wild lion, and he killed it with his bare hands. What did he look like? Well, people say, well, he must have been a weightlifter, must have been a bodybuilder, probably like Arnold Schwarzenegger used to. No, probably just average. Well, how do we know? Because Delilah asked him the secret of his strength. It wasn't obvious that he was so strong. It was supernatural strength. Judges 14:5-6 says, as Samson and his parents were going down to Timnah, a young lion suddenly attacked Samson near the vineyards of Timnah, and that moment the Spirit of the Lord came powerfully upon him, and he ripped the lion's jaws apart with his bare hands. He did it as easily as if it were a young goat, but he didn't tell his father or mother about it. Judges chapter 15, verses 14 and 15 says, as Samson arrived at Lehi, the Philistines came shouting in triumph, but the Spirit of the Lord came powerfully upon Samson. He snapped the ropes of his arms as if they were burnt strands of flax, and they fell from his wrists. And then they found the jawbone of a recently killed donkey. He picked it up and killed 1,000 Philistines with it. You know, in each case, the Spirit of the Lord came upon him and gave him strength. He wasn't only strong in body, but in mind and spirit. He had sharp wits. He loved riddles, and he had great sense of humor. No wonder his name was Sunshine. Man, did he have potential if he would have just given it all back to God. But this isn't a happy story. It's a tragedy. He went from hero to zero, from victor to victim. Disobedience, defeat, disgrace, and destruction describe his life. He was bold before men, but weak before women. He was a womanizer, and he just, if a woman wanted something, he would just putty in her hands. He had the Spirit of God upon him, but he lived for the appetites of the flesh. He was supposed to declare war on the enemies of God, but many times he was found fraternizing with the enemies of God. He fought the Lord's battles by day and broke God's commandments by night. Sunshine was his name, which means reminds us of light, but his life ended in darkness. Remember, he had his eyes poked out. Sometimes he soared to incredible heights, but he also sunk to incredible depths. If you told Samson at the beginning of his life what he'd do in the end, he wouldn't have thought himself capable of going that far. There are three people where you are sitting right now: the person you are now, the one you could be for God, and the one you could be for Satan. Samson was, used his gifts to go against the kingdom of God. Samson dishonored his parents. Judges chapter 14, 1 through 3 said, one day when Samson was in Timnah, one of the Philistine women caught his eye. When he returned home, he told his father and mother, a young Philistine woman in Timnah caught my eye. I want to marry her. Get her for me. His father and mother objected. Isn't there even one woman in our tribe or among all the Israelites that you could marry? They asked. Why must you go to the pagan Philistines to find a wife? But Samson told his father, get her for me. She looks good to me. Here was the first step in his downward journey. He had godly parents who pleaded with him to do right and avoid the wrong crowd. In 2 Corinthians 6:14, it says, "Don't team up with those who are unbelievers. How can righteousness be a partner with wickedness? How can light live with darkness?" You know, I heard one time that a threefold cord isn't easily broken. And I think the family ought to consist of at least a threefold cord: husband, wife, and God. But if God isn't holding the other two together, it's easy for them to become untwined. Exodus chapter 20, verse 12 says, "Honor your father and mother, then you'll live a long, full life in the land the Lord your God is giving you." Samson thumbed his nose at his parents, and he died young as a result. Samson deserted his promise. He took the Nazarite vow. In Judges 14:5, it says, "As Samson and his parents were going down to Timnah, a young lion suddenly attacked Samson near the vineyards of Timnah." Down is a geographical term, but I think it has more meaning than that. At least it does to me. He was running away from God. And when you run from God, you're going to go down. Read the story of Jonah. He went down over and over again until finally he did things God's way. Vineyard means Samson went to a place he wasn't supposed to be. You say, well, that's just a little thing, isn't it? Yes, it seems like it. But it's the little foxes that spoil the vines, it says in Proverbs. It's when we flirt with sin that the slippery slope takes over. James chapter 1, verses 14 and 15 says, "Temptation comes from our own desires, which entice us and drag us away. These desires give birth to sinful actions, and when sin is allowed to grow, it gives birth to death." Judges chapter 14, 6 through 9, "At that moment the Spirit of the Lord came powerfully upon him, and he ripped the lion's jaws apart with his bare hands. He did it as easily as if it were a young goat, but he didn't tell his father or mother about it. When Samson arrived in Timnah, he talked with the woman and was very pleased with her. Later, when he returned to Timnah for the wedding, he turned off the path to look at the carcass of the lion." Remember, you're not supposed to touch dead bodies. "He found that a swarm of bees had some honey in the carcass. He scooped some of the honey into his hands and ate it along the way. He also gave some to his father and mother, and they ate it, but he didn't tell them he had taken the honey from the carcass of a lion." He touched the carcass, a dead body, and this shows more disobedience to his vows to God. He violated his vows, and he lost his focus. He started sinning in high gear, and it was a downward spiral. Samson reminds me of Lot, Abraham's nephew. You remember, Abraham and Lot had prospered so well, they had to split up their ranches and stuff. And Abraham said, "Lot, you pick first where you want to go. We'll divide the land, and you pick the part you want." And Lot, the Bible says, looked over towards Sodom and saw the watered land and the green grass. And he said, "That's where I'm going to go." At the end of Lot's story, he had committed incest with his daughters, who gave birth to wicked nations, which still plague the earth today. Remember, in the beginning, Lot was a man of God who no one thought was capable of such things. But when did Lot start to get in trouble? When he lifted his eyes towards Sodom and said, "I'm going to go that way because that is the easiest." He just looked that direction, and then he headed that direction, and he pitched his tent so he could look out at it, and eventually he was right there in the city behind the gates. He said, "I just wanted to satisfy my curiosity." No, that's what a lot of people do, is they say, "Well, I'm just going to play with this for a little while because I want to see how far this temptation will go before it becomes sin." Leave it alone. You know, the Lord wants us to follow him. Satan wants us to fall into a trap. I want to say this, the deeper you go into temptation, the harder it's going to be to resist, the easier it's going to be to fall into the temptation and sin. The deeper you go into sin, the blinder you get. The power of temptation is how long you play with it. And you just need to dismiss it now and say, I rebuke you, Satan, in the name of Jesus Christ. I'm going to live for the Lord. Samson was blind long before his eyes were gouged out. Samson had distorted his purpose. In Judges chapter 14, 10 through 14 says, as his father was making final arrangements for the marriage, Samson threw a party at Timnah, as was the custom for the elite young men. When the bride's parents saw him, they selected 30 young men from the town to be his companions. Samson said to them, let me tell you a riddle. If you solve my riddle during these 7 days of the celebration, I will give you 30 fine linen robes and 30 sets of festive clothing. But if you can't solve it, then you must give me 30 fine linen robes and 30 sets of festive clothing. All right, they agreed. Let's hear your riddle. So he said, out of the one who eats came something to eat. Out of the strong came something sweet. 3 days later, they were still trying to figure it out. This was the wedding, and all the guests were Philistines. He's with the wrong crowd. You better not get yourself involved with the wrong crowd. I mean, you can have friends in the world, but don't get involved with their activities and stuff. Proverbs chapter 13, 20 says, walk with the wise and become wise. Associate with fools and get in trouble. The riddle he gave them was based on his experience with the lion. There was no way that they could figure it out without knowing what had happened. They went to his wife to get her to entice him to give up the answer. They threatened her. Tell us or we're going to do something dastardly to you. It says in Judges 14, 15 through 16, on the fourth day they said to Samson's wife, entice your husband to explain the riddle for us, or we will burn down your father's house with you in it. Did you invite us to this party just to make us poor? So Samson's wife came to him in tears and said, you don't love me. You hate me. You've given my people a riddle. You haven't told me the answer. I haven't even given the answer. Samson said, I haven't even given the answer to my father or mother. Why should I tell you? That's when she turned on the tears. Oh, man, I'll tell you, Samson couldn't handle that. Judges 14, 17 says, so she cried whenever she was with him and kept it up for the rest of the celebration. Boy, that was a lot of fun. At last on the seventh day, he told her the answer because she was tormenting him with her nagging. Then she explained the riddle to the young men. See, she bawled until she got her answer. Samson could stand before an army, but not before a crying woman. Judges 14, 18 says, so before sunset of the seventh day, the men of the town came to Samson with their answer. What is sweeter than honey? What is stronger than a lion? Samson replied, if you hadn't plowed with my heifer, you wouldn't have solved my riddle. Now, let me make a note for you and for myself that will keep you out of trouble. Calling your wife a heifer can be a big mistake. Don't do that. Now, notice how Samson is playing games with the enemy. He's not fighting God's battles. He's fighting his own. He had distorted his purpose for even living. He wasn't here just to have fun and to have adventure. He was here to fulfill the will of God. You know, America is no longer fighting for the real enemy either, but fighting our own battles internally. Playing games with the enemy. You look and you see that this one nation under God, indivisible, is anything but that right now. We need to pray that God will send a revival to get us back together. God has given us good gifts and abilities, so we must not prostitute ourselves and use them for the wrong purpose, but only for God. Well, Samson defiled his purity. It keeps getting worse. Sin takes you farther than you want to go, will keep you longer than you plan to stay, and cost you far more than you plan to pay. Judges chapter 6, 1 through 4 says, one day Samson went to the Philistine town of Gaza and spent the night with a prostitute. Word soon spread that Samson was there, so the men of Gaza gathered together and waited at night at the town gates. They kept quiet during the night, saying to themselves, when the light of morning comes, we will kill him. But Samson stayed in bed only until midnight. Then he got up, took hold of the doors of the town gate, including the two posts, and lifted them up, bar and all. He put them on his shoulders and carried them all the way to the top of the hill across from Hebron. Sometime later, Samson fell in love with a woman named Delilah, who lived in the valley of Sorek. He was, you know, he seemed to be looking for trashy women all the time. And I want you to know that they're not that hard to find. We need to keep our morals and our eyes on God and do the things he wants us to do. Proverbs chapter 5, verses 3 through 5 says, for the lips of an immoral woman are as sweet as honey, and her mouth is smoother than oil, but in the end she is as bitter as poison, as dangerous as a double-edged sword. Her feet go down to death, her steps lead straight to the grave. You know, Satan never shows us the end of the story. He tempts us and he tells us, oh, this is going to bring so much pleasure, this is going to be so good. I just, for instance, look at the advertisements you've seen about alcohol. You don't see the end when a person becomes an alcoholic and maybe ends up in Skid Row or laying in a gutter vomiting. Yeah, or tobacco. The tobacco ads, you know, young people having fun, smoking together and all that, but you don't see the cancer wards there at the end. I remember reading about Mr. Marlboro. Remember the Marlboro guy? And he was just the very epitome of everything a man wanted to be. But he ended up choking his lungs out in a cancer ward and dying. Satan doesn't show you those things. He just shows you the beginning, the fun, but not what sin does. Sin reaps death. Sin has a blinding, desensitizing effect. Listen to what I'm saying. If you are being tempted now because Satan is saying you'll have a lot more fun if you do this, remember, Satan is a liar. He doesn't care if you have fun or not. He wants to destroy you. Leave those things alone. Proverbs chapter 6, 32 and 33, but the man who commits adultery is an utter fool, for he destroys himself. He will be wounded and disgraced. His shame will never be erased. You know, we live in a society permeated by sex. You can't watch television or the internet or read magazine. It's just everywhere you look, you're being exposed to the filth. You know, sex is a wonderful gift between husband and wife that God has given, but is a dirty, filthy gift when it's misused. Sexual sins are deadly. The consequences go on and on. Forgiveness is possible, but you know, the consequences continue whether you ask God to forgive you or not. If you ask God to forgive you for committing adultery, you might still end up with venereal diseases and stuff because of the fact sin runs its course. Well, Samson diluted his power. Now he sat in Delilah's hair salon, and she tried to learn the secret of his strength. And he toyed with her, telling her lies. Tell me, he says, tie me with new bowstrings that haven't been dried, and you know, I'll lose my strength. Or tie me the second time with ropes that have never been used. I'll lose my strength. Braid my hair into 7 braids in the fabric on your loom and tighten it with a loom shuttle. I'll be as weak as any other man. Notice each time he's getting closer to the truth. And I want to say this, he was stupid. Sin makes you that way. The devil tries to get us to take small steps his direction. Maybe, you know, we won't notice that we're going away from God. Finally, Samson caved and told her the whole truth. He broke the final part of his Nazarite vow. Now it was too late. He reached the point of no return. And I think this is one of the saddest verses in the Bible. Judges 16:20 says, "Then she cried out, 'Samson, the Philistines have come to capture you.' And when he woke up, he thought, 'I will do as I did before. I'll shake myself free.' But he didn't realize the Lord had left him." How sad. He had lost his power, and he didn't even know it. Maybe some of you have experienced that. You don't even know how cold you've grown in your relationship to Jesus Christ, how far away you are from God today. The great lesson of Judges is God would rather forgive than judge. Samson made mistakes, but he could have made them right and been restored. Instead, he went the way of sin. Sin binds, sin blinds, sin grinds, slowly grinds away at you. Judges chapter 16, verse 21, "So the Philistines captured him and gouged out his eyes. They took him to Gaza, where he was bound with bronze chains and forced to grind grain in the prison." Just the work of a common ox. Even in the downfall of America, which we're witnessing today, there is hope. If Christians will begin to pray and turn back to God, and if our leaders will get their bearings and turn back to God, you'll find that God would rather forgive than judge. If we insist on his judgment, though, there still could be great victory for us as individuals, and the tragedy, you know, that is coming, multitudes could be saved if we'd go through a mighty judgment and people would turn back to God. God can still give a great victory. Judges chapter 16, verse 22 through 30 says, "But before long, his hair began to grow back. The Philistine rulers held a great festival, offering sacrifices and praising their god Dagon. They said, 'Our God has given us victory over our enemy Samson.' When the people saw him, they praised their God, saying, 'Our God has delivered our enemy to us. Then one who killed so many of us is now in our power.' Half drunk by now, the people demanded, 'Bring out Samson so he can amuse us. So he was brought from the prison to amuse them, and they had him stand between the pillars supporting the roof. Samson said to the young servant who was leading him by the hand, 'Place my hands against the pillars that hold up the temple. I want to rest against them.' Now the temple was completely filled with people. All the Philistine rulers were there. There were about 3,000 men and women on the roof who were watching as Samson amused them. Then Samson prayed to the Lord, 'Sovereign Lord, remember me again. O God, please strengthen me just one more time. With one blow, let me pay back the Philistines for the loss of my two eyes.' Then Samson put his hands on the two center pillars that held up the temple. Pushing against them with both hands, he prayed, 'Let me die with the Philistines.' And the temple crashed down on the Philistine rulers and all the people. So he killed more people when he died than he had during his entire lifetime." We don't have a record that Samson ever repented. I don't know. God would do right with him, I know, but we don't know if he repented or not. But the story is so tragic. A man with so much potential. He just wasted his life running after sinful pleasures. How many opportunities did he miss because self was more important than God? The question I want to leave with you, does God control your life? Or does sin and self have priority in your life too? Dear Father, I pray that you help each one of us to do some introspection, to find out if there's something that is tugging us away from you. Lord, if we've been playing with temptation instead of resisting it, if we've been more involved in the things of the world than in trying to please you, please forgive us. And Lord, if there's somebody that doesn't know you as their Savior today, that is listening right now, help them to bow their heads and confess their sins to you, because you're faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And you said, Lord, if we would call upon you, you would answer. If we would repent and turn from our wicked ways, we could have victory in Christ Jesus. Please, Lord, I pray that you help each one of us to stop and realize that what you want in our lives is best. I'll thank you, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. I would invite you to come to the services tomorrow at First Baptist Church here in Holbrook. It's at the corner of Buffalo and First Street, I'm sorry. And the service starts at 11 o'clock. Sunday school's at 10 o'clock. Excuse me, I'm having a hard time. Sunday school's at 10. Morning worship is at 11. I'll be preaching at morning worship tomorrow. I want to talk about the significance of blood in the Bible. And we will be having communion service also tomorrow evening. They're going to go to the church over here, the Lutheran church over here by the Gospel Mission. They're having a Sinkspiration. If you need to get in touch with me, catch me while I still got some thoughts in my mind. You can write to me at Box 4031, Sun Valley, Arizona, 86029. Or you can text me or phone me by 623-845-2741. I hope that you're having a good day. God bless you, and we'll talk to you later. God bless.